we're still on cars at the moment, and there's someone who has made a new business out of the car business in that the website, carsadvice.com, which was started about 10 years ago. Now, you know, you may be looking for a car that's small and economical. You may be looking for a four-wheel drive that's going to take you all sorts of places in the outback of Australia. But, you know, Australia simply cannot compete at a manufacturing level sometimes when it comes to producing these cars. But how do you know anyway which is the car for you? Well, you may look at a website called Car Advice. I spoke to Al Borsfalah, who invented Car Advice, to see how he started his web-based business, which grew to be the leader in the field.
Well, Car Advice, you know, we set out our purpose and our existence is purely based around helping someone purchase a new car. You know, we're at the very beginning of the journey where someone's researching, we're also towards the end of the journey where someone's just about to buy a car and they just need that last bit of reassurance. So, you know, we drive and we test drive every new car in the market. That's our motto. That's our aim. And our purpose is to match the right person to the right car. And it seems very easy, but it's actually a very difficult job because the majority of new cars on sale today are actually very good. So it's not about telling someone, don't buy that, it's a lemon, because really, they don't exist anymore. But it's more about telling someone, buy that, because it suits your life needs and your lifestyle. And that has become more and more challenging as the years have gone by, because there's just so much choice now.
So you're sort of adding what would have been, I guess, the purview of many of the motoring magazines in terms of test driving and features and how things work for people. Adding that to an online source that perhaps you don't get the depth of from the other car sales websites?
Look, I mean, we do our things very differently. We're very, very, very consumer-focused. We sort of, our approach is, what would the consumer want to know about this car if they were buying it? You know, if someone's going to spend, whether it's $30,000, $20,000, or $500,000 on a car, their mindset is very different. So we try and put ourselves in their mindset and try and sort of write the review and write the information for them. It is, I think, quite different to what our competitors do. But yeah, the purpose is definitely to try and make sure that the way we write the reviews or the way that we do our videos is very representative of the people that are actually looking to buy this particular car.
And when did you start this? Was it a bit over 10 years ago?
Yeah, it was in May 2006. So yeah, just over about a year and about 10 years in a couple of months.
And what sort of caused you to come up with this concept?
Well, look, to be honest, I always wanted to get into the car business in terms of writing about cars. I watched way too much Top Gear growing up, and it was sort of a bit of a, you know, I thought that would be the coolest job in the world.
Yeah.
It's not quite like Top Gear, but it's as close as you're going to get. And I've always loved cars. It's been my passion, and I love to write, and I guess I put those two things together, and there was definitely a lack of that online in Australia at the time, and I think part of it was just happening to be in the right place at the right time with a good name, and a lot of perseverance and a lot of determination. So yeah, I think that. But the main reason wasn't definitely not to make money. The main reason was to write about cars, because that's what I love doing.
When did it really take off for you? Talk us through the early days.
Well, look, I mean, we started in 2006, and it sort of took off almost immediately, and not in a financial sense, because we certainly weren't making any money from it, but from an audience perspective, we were, you know, first week we did, I don't know, I think about 290 views, which was pretty good considering we had a few articles early, and then next week we did 4,500 views. So, and it just sort of kept growing at a rather staggering pace, because we had no competition online at the time. So if anyone was looking up basically any car that was popular, we would tend to show up first on Google, and we would get all the traffic for it, even usually ahead of the manufacturers themselves. And that was a bit horrifying to some of the manufacturers, but it's just the way we structured the site. And you know, I have a relatively deep IT background, so it really helped me. Set that up. But it was probably around 2007, 2008 that we started realizing this is actually going to be a real business. And you know, I'd quit my full time job, and I was working on this full time. And then, of course, the GFC happened, and you know, we were days away from being insolvent because our financial commitments from our advertisers were basically stripped of us during the GFC time. So that was a very difficult period, and certainly very close to closure at a few times. But we saw it through. We persevered. Everyone took a haircut, and we kept going. And yeah, I guess it's just been strength from strength from there. And obviously, no business ever gets as big as ours or as successful as ours without having tough times. And we certainly had plenty of those.
And is it the advertisers that are, you know, the base of the business model for the website?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of our revenue comes from advertising. A reasonable amount of it comes from data. You know, so those are the two things. And obviously, we have a lot of plans for future products, but those are the core of our business model.
And with the data, how do you monetize that?
Well, I mean, I guess people browsing the web would know by now that pretty much anything you look at, whether it's on Facebook or it's on Google or in your email or anything, you tend to get tagged by it. And I guess if anyone's ever looked at something random to buy and then spend the next few weeks getting ads for the said random thing over and over again, they're wondering how that happened. That's a bit of data mining going on there, and it happens across all industries. And I suppose for us, we're the largest new car site in Australia, so people researching a car, more people find us than anybody else. So, you know, for example, say tomorrow you were interested in buying a Hyundai i30, and you Googled Hyundai i30 review, and we came up and you read it, then, you know, we would have tagged you as someone that's interested in buying a Hyundai i30. And believe me, no one Googles Hyundai i30 for fun. They're in market. They just want to know that it's a good car, or they want to validate their decision. So that data is quite valuable, because if this person is now in that purchase period for the next 3 to 6 months and they're looking at buying an i30, whether financial advertisers want to hit them with, hey, you know, have you considered financing your car, or insurance companies or other car companies? For example, maybe Ford wants to say, you know, don't buy the i30, buy a Focus instead. So there's potential for, and that's across not our network, but across the whole internet. So once you've been tagged, it's very easy to retarget you, and that's a very standard practice across all industries.
Were you looking at this when you started up, like prior to the GFC? Is this the way you could see the market going?
Not at all, mate. I mean, the data mining stuff is relatively new, just because the technology wasn't mature back then. Certainly, you know, around that time, our aim for the first maybe even 7 years was primarily to grow. The fact that we were making money was a bonus, but we reinvested everything back into the business and still continue to do so until very, very recently. Our motto has always been maximum of 10% profit. So we reinvest everything back into our technology, back into our staff, back into our people. And we do have a great team. So, and that comes from growing our culture, which, you know, we do a lot of fun things with our team. And, a lot of that is due to the fact that we try and run as an almost profitless business, if I dare say, because it's important for us to grow. And we have a long-term view on everything. So that's how we structured it.
As a founder and an owner, you'd see the benefit of paying yourself a salary, which is what a lot of small business owners forget about when they first start up.
Well, I did too. I mean, I basically worked for free for many, many years while people in the business were earning a lot more than me. But I guess, I don't know, I saw what could happen. I knew that particularly around GFC time, we were working for free, because we would either lose our staff or not get paid, so we decided not to lose our staff. And that was very tough, of course. It's not a great place to be, but thankfully it didn't last very long, and we sort of came out of it. But I certainly never paid myself a ridiculous amount of money. There are plenty of staff in the business that have over the period of time earned more money than me, that, you know, because their skill set was something we needed and they're very good at their job, and the upside was always for the shareholders. So, you know, And also, I guess it's worth me telling you and worth noting that, you know, we did have a employee share ownership program where we gave away 15% of the business to our staff. And I think that was very important, because, you know, I'm always of the belief that people that work for a small business need to have some stake in it, because that way they will, you know, it's more than work for them. You know, it becomes something that they're part of and something that they have an ownership structure in. So that's certainly something that helped us get people as well.
Sure, it's very motivational for people, and it's good to hear that you're doing that sort of a thing to get people involved, you know, conceptually as well as just physically.
Yeah, I mean, the large businesses obviously have different perks because they're massive businesses, so we need to be able to offset that in such a way. You know, we don't have it's not Googleplex where we have playgrounds and kindergartens, so, you know, this is our way of, you know, trying to get the right people to work for us.
Al Bourz-Fallah there, the owner and originator of CarAdvice.com, giving us a bit of insight on how he started his business and what he's doing for his employees. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to On The Money, broadcast around Australia via the Community Radio Network. Well, we're a couple